Welcome, everyone, to Heartbeat Theater. This is your host, C.P. McGregor, inviting you to be the guest of the Salvation Army for the next half hour. Our star this week is Byron King. P.T. Barnum once said, "There's a sucker born every minute." Men throughout the ages have realized this to be true, and some have made considerable fortunes following the sucker star. But this old adage works two ways, as we'll discover in our story this week, The Con Man, written for Heartbeat Theater by Christopher Young. Byron Kane stars as Eddie as we hear Act One of The Con Man.
That ought to do it.
Looks awfully complicated for a four-year-old's birthday party.
Well, you wanted something they could play pin the tail on the donkey with, and you didn't want pinholes in the landlord's wall, so presto.
That's marvelous. And so are you. When you're like this.
I bet Lonnie's as excited as a flea in a dog show.
I didn't think I'd ever get her to sleep. You know, she still remembers every detail of her third birthday party.
Well, who's impressed? So do I. I didn't have one.
Oh, I forgot to tell you. Hank called.
Oh, he did, huh? Wow, good. I wonder if he'd like to take in a ball game.
He said you called him. He was returning your call.
Let's go upstairs. This basement's getting chilly.
I don't want to get into another argument, Eddie.
And we won't, Sue. We won't.
You promised to stay away from Hank.
Oh, look, honey. Hank's an old friend. He isn't as bad as you make him out to be. I've known Hank longer than you. We were in college together.
And you were thrown out together.
Well, I didn't have a sense of humor on that campus.
What you did was so funny. Selling raffle tickets for non-existent prizes.
Well, we never sold more than a dollar's worth to any one person. Nobody got hurt, and we made a little money. Now, look, Sue, let's not go over a bunch of dead issues.
When you call Hank, I'm not so sure they're dead.
All right. Maybe they're not.
If you're going to yell, can you wait until we get inside the apartment? I don't understand you. I really don't. You're two different people sometimes. One is the Eddie I married, a sweet, attentive guy who loves his wife and child, and the other is a conniving crook.
I never broke a law.
Only because you think up schemes for which the normal legal mind never devised a law. Eddie, there are laws that aren't on the books. Laws of decency, fair play, consideration.
I consider my family. What I do, what I get is for you and Lonnie.
We have enough.
Yeah, we'll check the balance of the bank book and say that.
So we can cut down.
I'm sick of cutting down.
Eddie, please. No more schemes. Well, I don't think I could go through it again.
Honey, look, there's nothing wrong with my idea. Nobody loses anything. Everybody will benefit.
Then why not tell me about it?
Because you put business on a pedestal. You can't build an altar around money-making. Believe me, Sue, a seat on the stock exchange is a long cry from a seat in church. All I'm doing is manipulating people so they'll spend money that will benefit me instead of someone else. And that's what every so-called honest businessman from Wall Street to the corner grocer does.
I can't believe that, Eddie.
Sue, don't try to understand it. Take care of the apartment, Lonnie, and leave the breadwinning to me.
Well, don't hurt people, Eddie. Not if you want me and Lonnie.
Now, don't talk like that.
I mean it, Eddie. I mean it.
I thought you were all excited about this deal.
So I am.
Well, then give a little, man. You picked me up 10 minutes ago. You ain't said a thing.
I'll show you on the next block.
Next? You're trying to tell me there's money in this crummy neighborhood?
Say, while I think of it, Hank, will you quit calling me at the house?
Oh, is that what's eating you?
Use Nick's phone if you have to call.
Yeah, she's got you drained, all right.
We get along. Is that a parking space?
It's a fire plug, but there's one just ahead there. Looks like they're tearing down one of these dumps.
Guess again.
Hmm?
This one collapsed all by itself.
Are you kidding?
Why don't you trade in your ignorance sometime and pick up a newspaper? This has been all over the front page. 14 people hurt, 2 killed.
Oh, yeah. I heard it on TV. So what's in it for us? Used lumber?
Oh, boy. Come over this way.
Hmm.
Now, you see all these people watching them clear the mess away?
So?
Well, I've been coming down here for the last few days. Most of them live in these other dumps. There are even two or three owners in that crowd.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what every one of these people are thinking?
Mm.
They're thinking, this could have been my place. The hurt and the dead could have been me or my family.
Oh, likely.
A fact.
Well, if you say so, yeah.
Well, is that, give you any ideas?
Well, I probably could use a couple of good carpenters like us, but we quit that bit.
Well, we're resuming our craft. Now, whatever happened to Max and Collins?
Max? They're around. I see them now and then. Huh?
Living soft?
No, hardly.
Still trying to figure the ponies?
Well, they could use a buck, if that's what you mean. Come on now, what's the shake?
Ever hear of TBCU?
Hmm?
Tenement Building Control Unit. Part of the City Department of Building Inspection. My card.
Hey, real fancy. Had them all printed up and everything, huh?
Uh-huh. Would you mind? I find I left my office with just this one card this morning, and I have several other stops.
Nobody keeps the card.
Right. Now, this card is the only legal loophole. Tenement Building Control Unit is a phony title. Now, nobody will remember it.
Yeah, but you lost me when you whipped out that card. Would you start from scratch?
All right. After this building collapsed, a city official announced that there were probably 200 more buildings in the same condition.
Mm-hmm.
But there weren't enough inspectors to condemn them. Now, it could take 3 years before they got around to them.
Mm, I begin to get the picture.
Okay. Now, we approach the owner. I present my card. I'm with the Tenement Control Unit. You're a busy contractor mm-hmm. who's volunteered a few hours a week to substantiate my findings.
Mm-hmm.
All in the interest of the owner and the good citizens living in the building.
Uh-huh, I'm waiting.
Okay, now we go under the house. We study the foundation. Immediate work is necessary, or my department will have to file a recommendation for condemnation proceedings that very day.
Yeah, they don't get time to think. Huh?
Right. Then you move in. You point out that the job isn't as bad as I make it seem. You suggest I offer to hold back my report if Mr. So-and-so, the owner, would accept a bid on the work which you're ready to make at the moment.
Yeah, you're playing my song, Eddie boy. This is a dream.
So you submit a bid right there. Now, I'm hesitant, mm-hmm. but when Mr. So-and-so signs the bid and authorizes the work, I agree not to file my report, since the owner's intentions were obviously good.
Uh-huh. So we sign up 20 or 30, get an advance, and skip.
No. Nothing of the sort. No.
Uh-huh.
We take no advance at all. Max and Collie show up the next morning. Mm-hmm. They strengthen a few joists, put in a few new planks, make a lot of noise under the house.
Well, look, you make it sound almost legitimate.
It is, technically.
Well, where's the gravy?
Oh, this is good for $200 to $300 a day.
Yeah?
Sure, the average estimate runs around $350. The layout for Max and Collie and materials are no more than 100. All we're doing is overcharging. Our prices are high, but the owner authorized both the prices and the work.
Yeah, but isn't somebody going to make a fuss when they see how little we did for $350?
How little you did. So he gripes to you. Maybe. But he doesn't go any farther. Why? Because some man from some city office, the name of which he forgets, almost recommended his property to be condemned.
Yeah, I see it now. He makes a stink. He calls attention to the rotten condition of his property. The bill was steep, maybe, but he's in the clear as far as getting his property condemned.
That's the whole picture. But we work fast, 30 or 40 days at the most, signing up at least one place a day. We split about 10,000.
Hey, when do we begin?
Tomorrow. All right, now stick to the routine and don't say any more than we talked about.
Well, you relax. You mean the owner of this dump actually lives in it?
A lot of them do. They're old-timers. Been here since the building was in its prime. The change is gradual, and they don't see it the way we do. Now, here it is. It's apartment one.
Yes?
Mrs. Corman, my card. I'm with the Tenement Building Control Unit.
Oh, dear.
This is Mr. George Gray, a contractor who volunteers a few hours each week to help our department.
How do you do?
I wonder if I may have my card back, Mrs. Corman. I forgot to pick some up at my office, and I have many calls to make today.
Oh, of course.
Thank you, Mrs. Corman. You're familiar with the building down the block that collapsed last week.
It's a terrible thing.
Yes, it was. And it's my job to see that it doesn't happen again. I wonder if you could take us to the basement.
Oh, certainly. Just follow me. close my door. I have to be careful for thieves these days. I don't know what's happened to this neighborhood. Back this way.
We're starting with the buildings where the owner is a resident because we feel that these people will be even more anxious to avoid a calamity.
Well, I should say so. It's down these stairs. The light's on the bottom, so I'll lead the way. I know every step by heart.
Thank you.
Actually, I'm glad to see you. Mr. Corman passed on 12 years ago, and it's not easy for a woman to keep up on these mechanical things. Now, the light. Of course, when you get to be my age, you have to watch every penny.
Well, Mrs. Corman, the protection of your life and others, I'm sure, comes before money.
My life?
Well, don't forget, 2 people were killed and 14 injured when that building went.
Oh, well, that's true. Yes, that's true.
Now, this inspection is brief. We can spot trouble in less than a minute. As a matter of fact, Mr. Gray, would you take a look at this?
I was just noticing that...
Runs along the whole beam.
Yeah. Ever notice those cracks there, Mrs. Corman?
And the dampness in the wood?
I don't believe I've looked before.
Well, I'm terribly sorry, Mrs. Corman, but this is exactly the condition we found in the rubble of that building that collapsed.
Good heavens.
Now, I want you to understand, I am in no position to condemn your property. That isn't my job. But I'm afraid I'll be forced to file a recommendation that the building be condemned.
Why, you mean everybody'd have to move out?
Well, if the building is condemned, it's for your own good. And you certainly wouldn't want to have the lives of any of your tenants on your conscience.
Oh. But isn't there something I could do?
Pardon me. I don't think the danger is quite that immediate, Mr. Plyer. Suppose I made Mrs. Corman a bid on the necessary work right now, and you hold up filing that recommendation.
Yes. Couldn't we do something like that?
Well, that's very generous of Mr. Gray. And you'd have a top man, of course. But I'd have to assume, Mrs. Corman, that there'd be time spent while you got other bids. Mm. And I'm afraid I disagree with Mr. Gray. The danger here is quite immediate.
Oh, now look, Mr. Plyer, I could have 2 men on the job by noon today.
Well, that would satisfy my department, but, well, it's entirely up to Mrs. Corman.
Yes. Oh, well, anything.
Well, then you'd like me to make a bid, Mrs. Corman?
Now, I suggest you think this over, Mrs. Corman. Mm-hmm. You're putting yourself in the position of taking only one bid, which isn't good business.
Well,
of course, I can assure you that my department thinks a great deal of Mr. Gray and his men.
Oh, well, that's good enough for me. Well, how much would it be, Mr. Gray?
Oh, well, let's see. It isn't so bad. I've been going over it in my head, and I think, let's see, it'd be about... I think about 470 will cover it.
That much?
Well, it's kind of specialized work, you know.
Oh, I see. Well, all right, then.
All right, I'll have 2 men here at noon today.
Thank you very much, Mrs. Corman. I feel a lot better now. And I'm sure you do, too, knowing everything is going to be all right. Does that door lead to the alley?
What? Oh, yes, it does.
Well, that's where we're parked, so we'll bid you good morning.
Well, good morning, and thank you very much.
What do you think you're pulling?
Huh? What's biting you?
$470. And I told you 350 tops.
Oh, we had her in the palm of our hands.
So we lower the price for a tough one, and then they all start comparing notes. With a 350 top, nobody gets mad enough to risk sticking his neck out. You milk it for more than that, and somebody's likely to feel around about the tenement building control unit.
All right, we'll do it your way. What's the matter with you? You've been griping ever since you picked me up this morning.
Sue. She's taking Lonnie. She's leaving me.
That was the first act of The Con Man, starring Byron Kane as Eddie. As I'm sure you're already aware, Con Man is short for Confidence Man, a person who utilizes your carefully built-up confidence in him to separate you from your money. The Salvation Army wants to build your confidence in them also, not, however, to separate you from your money, but to let you know that they're a friend to rely on in need. An example of this trust and confidence you can put in the Salvation Army might be their day nursery service, which we'll mention later in our program. These nurseries can be found in most of our larger cities and serve a vital need in this modern day when both parents or an only parent must work to support the family. Preschool children are cared for during the working day with as much love and affection as it is possible to give. Where there is a need of any kind, you can be confident that the Salvation Army will fill that need. And that's what confidence really means. Now, Act Two of The Con Man, starring Byron Kane as Eddie.
Won't you come in, Mrs. Wilder?
Thank you, Major. I know I didn't have an appointment. I hope I'm not disturbing you.
Oh, not in the least. Won't you sit down?
Thank you.
Did you bring your daughter? Lonnie, isn't it?
Your wife took her out with the other children. She's having a wonderful time.
You could be referring to Lonnie or my wife when you say that.
I think I know what you mean. She seems to love every one of those children as if it were her own.
Well, of all the activities of the Salvation Army, the day nursery is one of the happiest ones. At least the nursery itself is a happy place, although the circumstances that bring the children to it aren't always the most pleasant.
No, Major. I suppose not.
I've looked over the application you gave Lieutenant Mendoza yesterday.
Well, I didn't expect to find work so quickly, Major. But I'm supposed to start in the morning, and I just have no one to leave Lonnie with.
Well, that's why we're here. Of course, my wife is in charge of the nursery.
I understand.
I was just wondering if there was any way I could be of help to you. Your application states that you're not divorced and your husband is not deceased.
I left him. Major, it just happened and I'm too confused to even think about it.
Well, if the time comes...
I probably will. And I'll be only too happy to have someone like you to tell the whole story to.
I see your last residence was way at the other end of town.
Well, I grew up in this neighborhood.
Oh.
The rents are reasonable, and I suppose I thought I'd run into some old acquaintances. But I'm afraid they've all moved away.
Well, I'm sure it helps being in a familiar area, at least. And I hope you'll consider us your friends.
Thank you, Major.
And you needn't worry about Lonnie when you're at work. She'll be well cared for, well fed, and we'll try to give her as much love as you would during the day. Salvation Army considers that last item one of the most important in running a day nursery.
I know, Major. You see, I spent a year here myself when I was Lonnie's age.
Now, why don't you tell me why we're switching to this end of town? I thought that collapsed building was the bait.
This part of town is old, too. The gimmick can work here, too.
Yeah, but we only worked that area for 2 weeks. We didn't even begin to tap it.
I'm making the decisions.
Oh, I sure wish you'd find that wife and kid of yours and get back your sense of humor. I'm telling you, Eddie, you're getting to be a real drag.
What's that building over there?
Huh? Oh, some kind of Salvation Army building. It's old, but it looks awful solid.
Yeah, there's an angle. Salvation Army. It should be a soft touch. Repairs won't come out of their own pocket.
You're the boss.
Only let's go a little heavy on this one.
Hmm?
Have Max and Collie put in a full day, maybe more. Matter of fact, we're going to do a good job and take a cut in the profit.
Are you sentimental about the Salvation Army or something?
Public relations. Let them spread the word around.
Well, suppose they don't need anything done.
Now, how are they going to know that? We're the experts.
There's someone in uniform over there.
Yeah, he could be our man. Excuse me, I'm looking for someone in charge.
Well, that would be me. Can I help you, gentlemen?
My card. Major?
Yes, Major Ford.
As you can see, I'm with TBCU, a tenement building control unit.
Well, that's a new one on me.
This is George Gray, a building contractor who volunteers a few hours a week to our department.
Oh, Mr. Gray.
How do you do, Major?
Oh, I wonder if I may have my card back. I left the office without taking any more.
Oh, well, certainly.
I'm sure, Major, you read about the building that collapsed a few weeks ago in which 15 were injured. Well, Major, ordinarily I'd file my recommendation for condemning the building immediately, but I can understand your position.
Well, as I say, I'm certain Mr. Gray here would give me a fair price for the work, but I just can't commit us for any expense without certain routine procedures.
Well, you understand my department only recommends Mr. Gray because he's a specialist in this type of work.
And most likely Mr. Gray will be doing the job. Could you call back in 2 or 3 days and perhaps we can get the whole issue settled at that time?
I'll do that, Major, and thank you very much for your time.
Well, thank you for not condemning the building immediately. Good morning.
Good morning, Major.
Yeah, good morning, Major.
Major, it's nice of you to see me without an appointment.
Oh, not at all.
I was in the neighborhood and just thought I'd stop in to see if you'd finalize your agreement.
Well, how's business, Mr.
Plyer, Hal Plyer.
Hal Plyer. I never did get to keep one of your cards, you know.
Wouldn't you know, I'm out of them again.
I'm not surprised, Mr. Plyer.
Beg your pardon?
Mr. Plyer, you made an unfortunate choice when you came to me.
Well, you're in my territory.
Wouldn't you say your territory is any area occupied by people anxious about the structures of the building they frequent since the tragedy of that collapsed tenement a few weeks ago? Oh, you needn't answer that, Mr. Plyer. But it's true. We were anxious, too. We called in a reputable firm and had a complete inspection.
Major, I'm a busy man. If you're not interested in Mr. Gray's bid, then...
I'm a busy man, too, but in a different direction. I try to help people. You try to harm them. Now, let's not play around. Your game is obvious. I realized after you left the other day that I didn't have your phone number, and the operator found no listing. I then called the building inspector for 2 reasons. To question the validity of your department, he never heard of it, of course, and to have them recheck the foundation in all fairness to your partner. He is your partner, isn't he?
If you'll excuse me, Major.
No. You've taken a lot of my time. Now, you give me some of yours. That isn't too much to ask. Oh, I'm certain you've covered yourself legally. There's no formal charge I can bring against you, for we never consummated a deal. And those you've built probably wouldn't have a case either.
You're right. My operation is legal.
But hardly moral. Now, you may not think you're concerned with the moral aspect, but I think you are. You're a human being, an intelligent one. But you've isolated yourself. You've sold yourself a bill of goods that says you're different, apart from everyone else. The hurts others bear are no concern of yours. It isn't so, my friend. We're all in this together, this business of living.
I've been around, Major. It's a dog-eat-dog world.
You like it that way?
Of course not.
Well, then why not fight it? Instead of nurturing it.
It's the way things are. If it's bad for someone else and good for me, then it's good, period.
Come with me. I want to show you something. I don't suppose you're familiar with the Salvation Army's operation.
I've got my own problems.
And we're concerned with yours. And I hope to prove to you that you're concerned with ours, even though you don't realize it. The Salvation Army is a worldwide operation. It runs homes for unwed mothers. It feeds starving people. It cures the diseased in undeveloped areas.
I'm sorry, Major. You're not reaching me.
Can you not be reached by little children either? Look ahead there. 30 preschool children, 2.5 to 6. Here because one or both parents must work to support their families, and there's nobody to watch over them. With this care, their parents can feed and clothe them better. Help them to become healthy, well-adjusted citizens someday. They're important, my friend. Important to you. And you're important to them. You were trying to cheat us. And if you had one of these children, or another child in China, perhaps, or a blind man in the West Indies, somewhere, someone would have gone without, because the Salvation Army would have had a few $100 less to carry on its work.
You made your point. Can I go now?
If you want to. But won't you think about it?
I can't help how I feel, Major. These aren't my kids. I want to fix it so my wife never has to work. So my kid doesn't have to rely on strangers for care and love. I want to be sure that...
What is it? Are you all right?
That little girl. It's Lonnie.
You know her?
That's my daughter. My baby. What's she doing here?
Then you must be Mr. Wilder.
What's she doing here?
I can't help thinking, Mr. Wilder, that God brought her here to help convince you. You're not apart from anyone else.
But then, Sue, my wife...
is working, Mr. Wilder. Despite your efforts to the contrary. And Lonnie stays here during the day with us, receiving the care and love that we give to her. It would seem that despite your rejection of ethical business practices, Mr. Wilder, your unethical ones haven't fared so well either.
For the moment, perhaps.
For the moment? Is it going to get any better? If you succeed with a few more gullible people, do you think your wife will come running back to you with open arms? Will you be able to give your daughter any more than she has now? If that... Think again, Mr. Wilder.
Look, Major,
Yes? You know, I can't help thinking about a certain interesting psychological phenomenon in connection with your coming here today, Mr. Wilder. Police have been familiar with it for some time. It seems that a person who has done something wrong will frequently return to the scene of his crime, or will do something else so clumsily and obviously that he's bound to be caught. And later will admit that he knew he was doing wrong, but couldn't stop himself. So he made it possible for someone else to do it for him.
Sort of an unconscious plea of guilty, huh, Major? Well, if you think
Mr. that... Mr. Wilder, why you came back here today, I don't know. But you did. And I think you've gained something by coming. I'll tell you this. Mere coincidence didn't bring you back. Tell you what, Mr. Wilder... A few days ago, you and a friend of yours tried to make a deal with me, profitable to you, costly to me. Now, I've got a friend, too, and we'd like to make a deal with you. One profitable to both of us, but mostly you. Shall we go into my office and talk it over?
All right, Major. Let's talk it over. Sue.
What are you doing here?
The Major told me you picked Lonnie up at 5:15. I thought maybe we'd pick her up together.
I told you, Eddie, it's all over.
The Major gave me another chance, Sue. Can't you see? I'll admit it's not going to be easy for me to turn down a chance to fleece a sucker, but something happened in here that makes everything look different to me. Please, Sue. Let's talk about it.
All right. I have to get Lonnie now.
Can we go in and get her together?
She's missed you. All right, let's go in together.
That was the final act of The Con Man, starring Byron Kane as Eddie. Be sure to be with us again next week for another Heartbeat Theater story. Heartbeat Theater is a presentation of the Salvation Army, and is one of the programs selected to be heard by our men and women overseas through the worldwide facilities of the Armed Forces Radio Service. Until next week, this is your host, C.P. McGregor, saying thanks for listening, and have a happy week ahead.